Hi, my name is Daniel, and I'm one of the pastors at Meridian Church of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and I hope and pray that you find this podcast to be helpful. Enjoy. Right now, it is obvious how important medical researchers are, as we all hope and pray for a scientific breakthrough in regards to the novel coronavirus that has been wreaking havoc on our world. So today, we will start by talking about a medical researcher and obstetrician named Ignaz Semmelweis, who worked at the Vienna General Hospital in the mid-1800s. In the maternity ward where Dr. Semmelweis worked, there was a big problem, as 10% of the mothers died. There was another maternity ward in the hospital where 2% of the moms died. Now, 2% was still bad, but it's remarkably lower than 10%. As a researcher, Semmelweis became obsessed with trying to discover why his ward had such a high mortality rate. The only difference he could find between the two wards was that his ward was staffed by doctors while the other ward was staffed by midwives. Semmelweis could not see how this could explain the difference in mortality rates, and so he tried to standardize every other factor he could think of to discover why so many mothers were dying in his ward. But nothing he tried made any difference in the mortality rates. Then he took a 4-month leave to visit another hospital. And when he returned, he discovered that the death rate in his ward had fallen to 1% in his absence. As he investigated why the mortality rate dropped so drastically in his absence, he eventually discovered that it had to be related to the research that he was doing on cadavers. So he developed a groundbreaking theory that the particles from cadavers and diseased patients were being transmitted to healthy patients by the hands of physicians. Dr. Semmelweis immediately instituted a policy that required surgeons to wash their hands. And immediately after this policy was enacted, the death rate in the maternity ward fell. Semmelweis had been right. He had been carrying a disease he didn't know about. So what does this story have to do with a sermon? Well, stay tuned. It'll come back up later. But first, I want to say that we are in week 3 of a series that looks at the messengers behind the gospel message, and we are trying to learn what made them effective. We started with Mark, who was helpful to others, and then we looked at John, who cared about people. And today, we're going to look at Luke. 3 of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have a lot in common, and so scholars call them the Synoptic Gospels, which means that they are similar. Today, I wanted to use a passage that is used exclusively in Luke, and so I started looking up writings that are found only in Luke, and I was surprised by one story that is found only in Luke. I thought it had been in others' Gospels too, but it is the story of Jesus returning to his hometown of Nazareth to preach in the 4th chapter of Luke. To set the stage, Jesus had been traveling all over the countryside, teaching in synagogues, and everyone was praising him. And then he decided to go back to his hometown of Nazareth. Now listen to this in Luke 4:16 through 19. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was doing something similar to what most preachers do. He was reading scripture and making comments about it. Now, this scripture is found in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Now, listen to what he says about it in Luke 4, 20 through 21. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus begins his portion of the sermon by grabbing their attention and making an interesting claim. Now, keep in mind that some of these people had watched Jesus grow up. I imagine that day the synagogue was full of curiosity about how their small-town carpenter had turned into an up-and-coming national celebrity. Now, I know firsthand how people from small towns can feel about their hometown people becoming famous. I grew up near Danville, Illinois. Danville boasted a few famous actors like Dick Van Dyke, his brother Jerry Van Dyke, and Gene Hackman. These guys were considered hometown heroes, and they had their names put on signs, there were murals painted on buildings, and when they came back home, it was an event that made the newspaper. Then later, I lived in Frankfort, Indiana, and it turned out that the actor who played Grandpa Walton was from Frankfort. Now, I have never seen the Waltons television show, but I know that a man named Will Gear, who was from Frankfort, Indiana, played Grandpa Walton because I saw his mural in a town park and heard the pride of Frankfort citizens brag that Grandpa Walton came from Frankfort. At this point, it seems like the people of Nazareth want to celebrate Jesus as their hometown hero. Now, isn't this Joseph's son? It's code for, hey, Jesus is one of us. Like, so far, so good. Jesus has a hometown crowd that wants to celebrate him. Then in Luke 4:23, he writes, Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Now, this is a curious proverb for Jesus to use for a couple of reasons. One, this proverb is not in the Hebrew Bible. It seems to have been a Greek saying rather than a Hebrew saying. It's foreign. Another problem is that the crowd had been amazed at Jesus' gracious words, but here Jesus' tone is changing from gracious to confrontational. Let's see what happened next. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly, I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Now, why would Jesus tell his hometown friends that they would not accept him after they were already amazed at his gracious words? I don't know, but let's keep listening. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. The end. As a kid from a small town, I think I could give Jesus a few pointers to get the crowd on his side. Now, if Jesus would have said something like, it's so good to be back home in Nazareth, Israel. As I travel all over the country, I feel like the success I have is because of you. You taught me, you prayed for me, you supported me, and you love me. No matter where I go, I will always be proud to be a Nazarene. Now, if Jesus would have said something like this, we could cue the band and start the parade. There might even be a statue coming. The sign marking their town would say, welcome to Nazareth, hometown of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if Jesus would have made a better speech, he could have been the Dick Van Dyke of Nazareth. Well, you can kind of tell from his tone how the people are going to react, but let's see how they reacted. Luke 4:28-29. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. Now we're going to pause this story and leave it as a cliffhanger with Jesus about ready to be thrown off of a cliff. Now we're going to pause to ask, who was Luke? We know that Luke was a close associate of the Apostle Paul, and he traveled with Paul. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which traces the early history of the church. Luke was well-educated in Greek culture, and many people think that Luke was probably a Gentile. Now, interestingly, Luke may be the only biblical writer who was a Gentile, which means not Jewish. And the last fact that I want to share about Luke is that he was a doctor. Thinking about Luke being a doctor, let's go back to the Greek proverb Jesus used in Luke 4:23. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. I bet Luke the doctor smiled as he wrote this one down. Now, what was Jesus saying? Jesus was acknowledging that although his audience in Nazareth would try to kill him over the words he spoke about God helping foreigners, they would think that he was the one who was sick. Now, Mark, one of the gospel writers, Mark even tells us that Jesus' family thought that he was mad. But this is the common thinking in his hometown, that there was something wrong with Jesus. One thing that Jesus said that is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels was something that may have been particularly compelling to a doctor. In Luke 5, 31 through 32, Jesus challenged his self-righteous opponents who were criticizing him for being with sinners by saying, this is what Jesus said to those who criticized him, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." With this statement, Jesus wasn't saying that sinful people are sick and need him, but religious people like the Pharisees were healthy and didn't need him. Now, Jesus was exposing the danger of people like the Pharisees, who didn't think they were sick and didn't think they needed healing. They didn't think they needed to repent. They thought that sickness was just with other people. The Pharisees didn't know it, but even as they obsessed over things like ceremonially clean hands, they were like Dr. Semmelweis. Even though they thought the problem was with someone or something else, their hands were dirty, and they were spreading their sickness to others. Now, in his hometown sermon, Jesus exposed the sickness of the people. They had forgotten that Father Abraham, the father of the faith, was a foreigner. God had promised to make Abraham's name great, and they were obsessed with that promise. They wanted the name of Israel to be great, but they lost sight of the greater promise that God made to Abraham, the one that would be more important, and that was that from Abraham's descendants, that all the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's offspring. Now, as a Greek doctor, Luke had probably taken the Hippocratic Oath. His oath likely included some of these words: "I will do no harm or injustice to my patients. Into whatever homes I go, I will enter them for the benefit of those who are sick." Now, who was Luke? Luke was a healer whose role was to go to whatever place or person for the benefit of the sick. Now, by their attitudes and reactions, Jesus' Nazareth synagogue audience and the Pharisees revealed that they didn't really want to help anyone who was sick. They wanted to be favored. Now, what made Luke effective as a messenger of the gospel is that he wanted healing for all. Now, I think we all love and appreciate a good doctor who cares about our health and has done something good to bring us healing. There's something comforting about someone who wants what's best, who wants something for our health. And that's who Luke was. Everyone he spoke with, he wanted what was best for their health. Now, as we think about how to apply this message, I want to point out one more thing that is exclusive to Luke. It is in Luke 18, 9 through 14. But Jesus addresses this. It's in a parable. And Luke says in Luke 18, 9, "To some who were confident of their righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." Now, the parable was about two men who prayed. One was a Pharisee who stood by himself and prayed, thanking God that he was not like others, that he fasted and tithed and was morally good. And the other was a tax collector who stood humbly at a distance and prayed in Luke 18, 13, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said it was the humble tax collector who was justified before God. So I want to challenge you to pay attention to Jesus, to pay attention to Luke's writings, and not to be confident of your own righteousness or to look down on others, but to be humble and to seek mercy for your own shortcomings, and then to find ways to bring healing to other people, especially with people who are different from you. maybe ethnically, maybe politically, maybe morally. Now let's be people like Jesus and like Luke, who reflected that God wants to help people who are different from us. If today the gospel message is compelling to you, and you want to repent and turn to Christ the Savior, please pray this prayer with me, acknowledging your desire to follow Christ. God, I am responding to your calling and am coming to you in search of healing. Teach me how to follow Christ. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and show me the ways you want me to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier, we left the story of Jesus' hometown sermon as a cliffhanger. The hometown people are about to throw Jesus off a cliff. And this happened in Luke 4:30. But Jesus walked through the crowd and went on his way. Now that's funny and interesting, but imagine all the good things that could have happened in Nazareth if the people would have embraced Jesus and repented. But instead, they were offended by Jesus when he challenged them. And their story ends with Jesus, the ultimate healer, not becoming their hometown healer, but simply leaving town. Now, I hope and pray for us that when Christ challenges us to be a part in his work blessing all the families of the earth, that we not miss out on the healing he desires to do in us and through us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are holy and righteous and good. Help us to be humble enough to learn from Luke's gospel, where Jesus tells of a tax collector who, unlike a self-righteous Pharisee, went home justified because he prayed, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We thank you that Christ didn't come to harm us, and was even willing to suffer injustice for us. Thank you for people. Thank you for the messengers who have passed down to us that whatever place Christ entered, he went for the benefit of the sick. Today, we look to Christ for healing. Help us not only to care about our healing, but to have a heart like Christ and like Luke that desires healing for all. Use us to be good messengers who look to bring healing to whatever person we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to subscribe, you can find Meridian Church of God podcasts in iTunes or other podcast services. We also have messages posted on our website, MeridianChog.org. That is chog.org. And there are videos of services and other content on our Facebook page. We appreciate this opportunity to connect with you. May God bless you, and may you be a blessing.